The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call Act 2, Scene 7. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett from Style Weekly.
And we're going to talk about two of the Christmas shows today. We're going to start with Scrooge in Rouge, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players through December 17. It is set in a traditional English music hall where three actors put on their abbreviated and very small cast version of A Christmas Carol. Rich, what'd you think?
I absolutely loved it. You know, this time of year, you get a lot of the old war horses pulled out every once in a while.
Christmas Carol is one of those,
And normally they're kind of lame or kind of terrible. This, I mean, it takes A Christmas Carol and turns it on its head. It is hysterically funny.
Very funny, yes.
One of the times I've laughed the hardest was this show. My face actually hurt afterwards from laughing so hard.
Oh, your face is killing me. I agree. I thought the songs were witty, and there was lots of double entendres and good-natured insults. Much of it would have been silly in lesser hands. I think the cast was so strong and the direction was so strong that a lot of that stuff was hilarious, as opposed to there could have been a lot of groaners.
Exactly. And, you know, there's parts in the script where it's intentional for them to tell a bad joke,
right.
They know it.
Yeah.
And so they're playing with it. I thought the timing was just perfect.
Right.
Kirk Morton, Steve Beauchin, and Lauren Linehouse Cook. All three of them were fantastic, but Stephen Beauchin just walked away with the show.
Absolutely. Said he had a naughty, vacant character. He was just kind of clueless, but he was still naughty and hilarious, too. Yeah, his timing was perfect. Lauren had a lovely voice. She did a nice job. And Kirk, I said that he was a staunch straight man, which is kind of funny, knowing that Kirk usually ends up playing the screaming queens or the drag queens. So that was fun to see.
Well, it was funny because he got to break out of that a little bit, too. When he was Bob Cratchit, he's like twirling around and, you know, looking like a dandy. And yeah, all three were fantastic. The show goes in all sorts of different directions. It's like, hey, let's throw in a vacation number about going to the sea.
And the drinking number.
The
intermission, yes. Sean Stacy, who did the first version, which we didn't, I don't think either one of us saw, did you?
I didn't see it.
Came back from Norfolk, where he lives now, to do it. I think he did a great job and added some clever comic bits. The costumes, of course, we have to talk about those because they were pretty hilarious. Tom Hammond originally designed them and did a beautiful job, as he always does. And then Alex Valentin did some updating and changing, and I'm sure some of the updating was to let them out a little bit, because I saw in one of the costumes there was an extra panel in the back. The music was very simple, but was always effective. It never got in the way, but the accompanist, Michael Mann, did a great job.
That's McChicken.
McChicken.
The comedic rapper.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he's a jazz musician and a comedic rapper known as McChicken. He was downplaying the McChicken bit. He was just strictly at the keys and holding it down and, you know, doing all the vamping and keeping everything going on. And I thought he did a great job.
And I will have to say that people who might be hesitant to say, oh, it's a triangle show and there's a bunch of silly queens running around acting all Nelly, that's kind of true, but it's also very, very funny. It's not, you don't have to have a gay sensibility to appreciate it. It's a genuinely hilarious production.
With shows like this, there's often a point where it turns, you get a little sick of the premise,
they overplay it.
No, this was perfect. Everything was pitch perfect.
And it was short and sweet, which is good too.
In and out in like 90 minutes, right?
Yep. I said Dickens never had it so good. And that's Scrooge in Rouge at Richmond Triangle Players through December 17th. Now let's talk about A Tune of Christmas, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill Theater, through January 7th. If you've seen Greater Tuna, or even if you've seen A Tune of Christmas, because this is the second time they've done it at the Mill, you know that basically this is two actors playing 22 roles, males and females, in this fictional Texas town. This time there's a little bit of a holiday theme, obviously, to make it Christmas-oriented. John Hagedorn and Richard Cook are the two men playing all the roles. They're two of our finest comic actors, and they got a chance to shine in this show. It's kind of broad. The characters are more cartoony. There's a little bit of human warmth at the very end. Hagedorn was more sweet with his individuals, and Richard Cook sometimes seemed a little forced. It's very corny. Some of the scenes run on a little bit long. Politically, some of it's a little questionable these days, but it's set in Texas, so I guess you can get away with that. What did you think, Rich?
I thought it was an appallingly bad taste. This show came out in, I think, 1989, and the humor and the ideas behind it are very old. You read the headlines today, and we have white supremacists who are coming to Washington and stuff like that.
Right.
So when a hooded figure comes out as a member of the Klan to invite you to the whitest Christmas party ever, it's not just not funny, but it's actually a little scary. There's a scene where they have little people, and one of the waitresses just yells something like, "Wait for your damn food, midget!" Like, what is this? Who thought this was a good idea to put on? I was appalled.
Well, what did you think about the production? The play is a given at this point, whether you liked it or not, but what did you think about the
I can't get over how appalled I was. You know, it's the kind of show where a man comes on stage dressed as a woman. That by itself is supposed to be hilarious. I'm sorry, this is 2016. Are we not familiar with men in drag?
Really, we've seen
Is that such a punchline? Comedy often deals in stereotypes. This is making fun of people for their otherness. It is mean-spirited, and it is not the kind of show that I think they should be put on anymore.
Okay, well, I guess we will leave it with that and leave that up to the folks out there to decide if they want to spend their holidays watching that show. And that, again, is A Tune of Christmas at Swift Creek Mill Playhouse through January 7. Bo Wilson has written a number of plays, many of which have been produced here and in other theaters. In the summer of 2014, his play The Charitable Sisterhood of the Second Trinity Victory Church premiered at Hanover Tavern and presented a quartet of quirky church ladies. They're back with a holiday sequel called The Charitable Sisterhood Christmas Spectacular. It'll be running at Hanover Tavern December 2nd through January 1st. Bo, welcome.
Thank you so much.
How did the idea for a sequel come about?
Well, the first one was really wildly successful, more than I expected, I think more than Virginia Rep expected. It suddenly occurred to me that I might just be looking at a franchise if I can keep it going. I had spoken to Bruce Miller semi-playfully about, well, I should get busy writing a sequel. And then a couple of months after that, I said, let's not be playful. Let's go ahead and think about that.
Right.
But I thought that a Christmas show would be a lot of fun.
So what's different this time around besides obviously the holiday theme?
We are not going to see the young girl who had been played by Louise because Riley is perhaps in jail at the moment.
Right.
You know, she's in custody back in West Virginia. So we're introducing a new character, Lucille Orton, being played by Jodie Smith-Strickler. She's a very stern religious figure in the community, and she looks down her nose at pageants and things that are too secular when celebrating Christmas. So that sets her up against the ladies. But there's also a mystery afoot because someone has sabotaged the First Trinity nativity scene.
So what was the biggest challenge in coming back to this, whether it was mounting it or just writing it?
Well, I wanted to do a play within a play. Act Two is the spectacular, the pageant that the church puts on. So when we come back from intermission, we are the audience at Second Trinity Church watching the spectacular. So that's always very tricky to do a play within a play. And I'm doing a kind of a noises-off gimmick where half the time we're backstage and half the time we're on stage. And I wanted to write that not only for the fun of that back and forth, but I wanted to make sure that all theaters would be able to achieve that with technical ease.
To keep that franchise going.
Right, exactly. The first one has already had over 15 or 16 productions, and it just went into their catalog not even a year ago, and it's had productions in Great Britain and Canada, so I'm very hopeful that other theaters will want to do it.
What's the most fun about this, getting this same group? Of course, a lot of them are your friends too, but...
Right. The first one was written with their voices in mind, and it's so liberating to know with certainty that these voices are going to be saying these lines, and to know how it's going to sound and to be able to imagine it. And the fun is to go into the room and find out it's even better than you imagined. They've got ideas that make it better, which I steal, you know, liberally, and I never give them credit.
Why not? They're getting paid all that money
exactly.
to be on stage.
They're practically millionaires. No, it's such fun to work with people that you know, that you trust, and that you have a real connection with.
All right. Well, Bo, it sounds like it's going to be fun. Of course, I'll be out there reviewing it, and we'll probably be discussing it on a post-Thanksgiving curtain call. And just to remind everybody, this is Bo Wilson, who has written The Charitable Sisterhood Christmas Spectacular, which is running at Hanover Tavern December 2nd through January 1st. Break a leg.
Thanks for having me.
And there are two more shows coming up for the holidays, A Christmas Story at Virginia Rep and The Charitable Sisterhood at Hanover Tavern. We'll be talking about those in 2 weeks. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett from Style Weekly.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for Thanksgiving.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.